we're going to do, I didn't even really have to prepare too much, but what was left over from last week is what we're going to get. Okay, so if we'll turn to 1 Samuel 23, and we're going to begin at verse 15. Well, the action takes a slight pause here. From verse 24, that David was hiding out in different places in the wilderness, and Saul was out there daily seeking him. And so when we come to verse 15 here, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. First of all, I've got to apologize, because the last time we saw Jonathan, I said that that was the last time that he would see David. Well, that's not true. I don't know how many times he may have come and gone here, but this is definitely the last time that's recorded for us, whenever they see each other. When we see Jonathan, what does he do for David?
Strengthens him.
He did what?
Strengthened
what? His hands in God. Jonathan, we're going to see, is the ultimate example of a friend. When you need a friend, you need somebody who's going to come and do what for you? Beat you down?
Encourage you.
Going to strengthen you. Now, we see here what happens in that strengthening. And he said to him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. That also Saul my father knoweth." Do we know that Saul knew this? No, after all, why is he out here trying to kill David? Okay. We did the last ranting that we saw Saul was that he was accusing his son of helping David. Well, that's exactly what Jonathan was doing. And so he sort of prophesies here a little bit. It says, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find it." Now, we're not going to get finished with the book, but if you read the back of the book, that's in the song. I've got to find that so we can sing it for the pastor. You know that. But if you read the back of 1 Samuel, okay, did Saul find him?
Yeah.
They were close enough to talk to each other, but he never got a hold of them, right? Never got a grip on them. All right, so that was a true saying that Jonathan did in strengthening him here. "And thou shalt be king over Israel." Well, when we get into 2 Samuel, is that true?
Yes.
It's true. And then, what does he say? "And I will be next to you. I'll be the number two man in Israel." Now, can you imagine what it would have been like for David if that had come true? There would have been none of that six-year junk of ruling over Judah by himself. Saul's family wouldn't have set up, what was his name? Ebeshaph or something like that.
Mephibosheth.
No, that was somebody else. It starts with an I anyway. As the one that took Ishbosheth or something like that. And so there wouldn't have been that war between Israel and Judah for 6 years. But that's not what the Lord wanted. The Lord had more training for David during that time. And also probably something else for a lot of other people in Israel. "And they too made a covenant before the Lord." Remember, they had already made a covenant. "And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." Whether they added to the covenant or not, or they just took the covenant they had already made and reestablished it, that they would care for each other. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." So now we have a conspiracy that's going to take place. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me." Well, Saul's the last person that could be blessing somebody in the Lord at this point, because he's doing absolutely the opposite of what the Lord wants. "Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where he is haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly." All right, this is, David was able to be as subtle as a serpent. I think we've been told to do something like that too. "And so, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go down with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in a plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David into the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. So we have them here. They're chasing each other around the mountain. And David makes his escape in opposite direction and is able to get away from him. However, Saul would still continue to be chasing him. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, "Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Well, here are his very dire straits. No help in sight. Who comes to help? But the Philistines. All right, and so Saul has to leave David, and he went to this place with this big long name, and David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. He makes a good getaway now, and is far enough away from Saul that he can relax. Well, one of the things that we note during this time is David was very active in writing the Psalms. And at this time is when he wrote Psalm 54. So if you'd like to take a look there, it says there, "At the heading to the chief musician on Neganoth, Meshel, a psalm of David. When the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? And he says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them." Selah. "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies." Now, it be a while before we get back, if we do get back, to finish the book. We're told in the scriptures that all these things were written for us, for our edification, for our example for things. Now, we have some major characters in this area. What have you learned personally from them? Yes, we talked about them and we spoke, but what were they an example of in your life or for your life? Let me take you way back to the beginning of the book. We have Elkanah and
Hannah.
What did their life, what's recorded about them, tell you about yourself? What kind of person was Elkanah?
Just
man. Who?
A just man.
He was just. How do we know that? What were his actions that showed that?
He brought the sacrifice.
Yeah, because we got to remember, what are the times like in Israel? This is a time when, everyone did according to what they thought was right.
And he was faithful. He did it every year.
Faithful, faithful, faithful. And likewise, what can we say about Hannah? She was faithful then, right?
She was willing to give up the only son that she thought she would have.
Okay.
Another thing you can say about Hannah, though, too, she may have known to go to the Lord because of her situation. But the Bible also tells us that that is one of the things that can be never be satisfied is the empty womb.
So she prayed.
Yeah. She knew where to go. Yes. We'll give her that.
Okay. Well, let's move on. We ran into Eli. And I think sometimes Eli gets a worse rap than he deserves. What about him? He's high priest. Remember, the actions that happened to him and that he knew of. Oh, I suppose, could we say that Elkanah and Hannah show us a necessity of having good parents?
Not Eli.
But Eli raised Samuel well.
Okay.
Good point.
Good with his own
boys. But before we jump on him, we got to remember that Samuel's two sons weren't sterling characters either.
Yeah. Okay. So we can't really judge Eli by his progeny. I mean, he probably could have done better, but I suppose we also done better.
It doesn't mean necessarily that he raised them wrong. He just didn't do anything about them. They were doing it.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't go far enough.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He had more authority to go further than what he did there. But I suppose we can learn something about family. Blood sometimes stronger than.
Sometimes the parents have bad children, and that's not on the parent, that's on the child.
That's on the child. Okay.
We all have got to have this experience, as most of us have had it, is that once you reach a certain point with a child, their decisions are their own.
Now, he's serving his office, and then we have Samuel come to him, and he's training Samuel, and when Samuel has his when the Lord talks to Samuel, Eli does something. It tells us something about him. Remember, Samuel comes to him the first time and wakes him up and he says, go down back and lay down.
He said the Lord was calling.
Huh?
He said the Lord was calling.
Then? Okay. But he recognized the Lord. And then when the pronouncement comes to him, knowing everything. And then he says, let the Lord have his will. And what happened? All right, well, then we have Samuel. Okay, we have a fairly large part here with Samuel. And what did we find, what did you learn for yourself from Samuel?
You can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Who was the horse here?
Who wanted a king.
Okay. The people of Israel. Okay.
Right. They weren't satisfied with the true water source.
Okay. Was he faithful?
Yeah.
Faithful in all that he did. In fact, other places in the scriptures, he's pulled out as an example. you know, I think that one of the references was someplace where he says, even if Samuel would pray for this, that wouldn't change it.
He was fearless. He wasn't afraid to face the king and say, you've done right. You're leading the sheep.
All right.
Now hear this.
He took his office very seriously. Well, he did. All right, then we come to Saul as our next character that shows it. What's something you can learn from Saul that might aid you in your life?
I think that it's usually pointed out the fact that when it comes to Saul, who chose Saul?
Yeah.
The people. Right. Who chose David?
The Lord. Okay. It was the Lord who told that. It was the people that wanted him.
He was humble, and when he was humble, God lifted him up.
When you were small in your own eyes, the Lord lifted you up. But then what happened? We need to be careful for ourselves. When we get on the high, that's when you have to be really careful that you don't start to think more of yourself than you actually are. In our Christian life, what are we commanded to do concerning each other? Let no man look on his own things, but also on the things of others.
Should each one better than yourself.
Let each one be better than yourself. And so we can learn, we get that an example here that we can use to show that particular thing. All right. Then we meet Jonathan, Saul here. From the actions of Jonathan, what can you learn?
Right was right, wrong was wrong.
Okay.
Even if it's your dad that's wrong.
Good. Even if it's dad that's wrong, the right thing is this.
He was willing to sacrifice what was his, the heritage, the kingship.
Which makes him the absolute, because the Lord's always the absolute, but makes him a good example of brotherly love. Just in what he said here in these last verses that we read. A brother will strengthen you. A brother will stand next to you in these things. I think one of the cautions that we can probably look at David and see is that David never took advantage of Jonathan. He never asked Jonathan to do something that he couldn't do. And that would be the same for us. All right? We have a covenant together that we will care for each other. Okay? But within that covenant was also unwritten the fact that the other person won't try to take advantage of you in that covenant. They can expect to help, but they can't expect something special out of you that's not required, not needed.
And you were talking about Jonathan in that relationship earlier. Do you think that one of the reasons, perhaps, if Jonathan had not been killed, it may have smoothed things with the northern kingdoms for David. But, by the same token, you think that there might have been a danger too where the northern kingdoms would have wanted to set Jonathan up as king of the northern kingdoms?
Well, they may very well wanted to do that, but he would never...
No, I'm just saying, you know, had...
If chosen, I will not serve.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying, the Lord may have taken that conflict out of the way, even though it meant the conflict of the God.
Right. And earlier on, when we see Jonathan, when he goes out there by himself and stands against the Philistines, we see his bravery. And that contrasts with his father, who we find sitting under the tree. But they go out, and he goes out, takes care of business, doesn't ask anything about it, He's followed loyally by his assistant there as he goes. And so we can learn those kinds of things from Jonathan. And then, of course, we have David. What can we learn from David that would be an example for you in your life?
He wasn't perfect.
Did you say he wasn't perfect?
Yes.
Okay, he wasn't perfect. Sometimes he didn't trust God. And when we look at that example, though, we ought to know what happens if we don't trust him.
In the beginning, he really trusted as a young boy or man with the bear and the lion, and he, you know, was not afraid of Goliath and sang made songs about him. But then you see when he's fleeing, he goes to the enemy.
He goes to the enemy.
He shouldn't be in the first place.
Yeah, and he tells him why to Ahimelech, and all that turns out to be bad in the end. Not only for him, but for Ahimelech and the ones that were with him. But we can see, most of all, that he tends to be faithful in his trust in the Lord. You know, we just looked at that last psalm there that we were looking at. It says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. He was one that trusted in the Lord, and he had a close relationship with the Lord. Because what in other places it says that David is a man after my own heart. He says, "Sorry." Well, we'll see you in a few weeks.